I don't know if I can go into the summer vacation not knowing if Latifi is safe.
I won't sleep. I don't know that I'll watch F1 ever again if Latifi's gone. All right, the gals are back for what we're calling an emergency episode with all of the drama that's happened this past week in F1.
Well, we couldn't leave you hanging for a couple of weeks knowing that we wouldn't be back on the grid. So surprise, we're tacking on to our last episode and we needed to discuss. We needed to bring it back.
Oh yeah, and I'm glad because I didn't get to do the recording of the actual episode. So I just get to talk F1 gossip and that's just as fun.
Oh, absolutely. This is some of the best part, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Jack, do you want to summarize or is it too painful at this point? Or are we not believing the rumors? Or should we just start from the top?
Well, I just want to say all the rumors are not true. We heard straight from the source a couple weeks back with his long string text, Daniel has no intention of leaving McLaren. So I don't know. And maybe we should start from the top before we get into why I don't think this is true. But everyone's up in arms that people are coming after Danny Ric's seat. And you know what? I don't think that that's it's not an option. People, it is not an open seat. It's not up for grabs. Squash it.
I think we should take a few steps back. Because this drama unfolded in a couple different parts. And it all started with Vettel. So originally, Vettel was on Aston Martin. And it sounded like when he retired, when he put out the announcement that he retired, at least, the grid was really surprised. All the commentators were shocked. They're like, we just spoke to him. He sounded like he's going to keep going. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, he says he's out. I don't think we were that surprised, but he said he was out. And then Alonso was still in talks with Alpine, even so much so that Otmar thought he was going to sign another deal with them. But because Alpine wouldn't give Alonso more than 1 year deal, he jumped and took the seat that Sebastian just gave up at Aston Martin, causing a whole bunch of drama to unfold.
Which, we predicted it here on the grid. I was not a believer, but I know you and Mary both predicted, you thought it was Vettel's last season. I think we were spot on there. And knowing Alonso, he's a little bit cheeky, you know? Mm-hmm. And rightfully so. He's a world champion driver. He's come back into the sport. He probably wants a little bit of stability. And I mean, I think he's proven himself, especially knowing Alpine's status this year, mm-hmm. more than enough. And so I can understand him wanting, you know, maybe a little bit of stability. And if Aston Martin's like in his ear, hey, like they're only offering you 1 year, bet we'll up the deal. I mean, why not explore? I don't know if he knew the chaos that he was setting off, but I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, what surprised me about that was Alonso's like, oh, I want to keep racing. I want to keep at least being in the points, winning. So why are you going from Alpine to Aston Martin?
Well, there are some gals on this podcast.
Currently not present.
Some gal on this podcast that might have piped in and, you know, maybe they were telling him about the money starting to pay off. I mean, there is a ton of investment. I don't know with the budget caps how much that's going to influence things, but I mean, he kind of just seems like the type of guy, too, where if he feels like he's disrespected, he kind of has too much pride. He's got to walk away.
Yeah, I agree with that. So that one will be interesting to see. I want to see if he actually does better at Aston Martin than he's doing at Alpine. I have my doubts there. He's definitely going to do better than Stroll, but I mean, that's not saying too much.
It'll be interesting next season, that's for sure. I think Aston Martin will be a team to watch. Well, I don't know if a team to watch, per se. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But okay, so what happened after Alonso announced that he was going to make the move to Aston Martin?
So I think because Alpine was just so surprised, and their reserve driver currently is Piastri, mm-hmm. they went ahead and said Piastri is going to be their driver for next year. But that wasn't necessarily signed, sealed, delivered type of deal. They actually hadn't spoken to Piastri's agent about this deal, or at least hadn't gotten his approval. So Piastri went on Twitter and Instagram and posted a message saying he hasn't signed an agreement, he's not driving for Alpine next year. It was a pretty aggressive statement, and for most readers, it looked like he burned a bridge for Alpine next year at all.
Yeah, I wonder what happened behind the scenes, because I was very thrown off about the aggressiveness of him coming out with that statement. Like, I get it. Very clearly, they were not prepared for Alonso to walk away because there was that one-day gap. Mm-hmm. Basically, Piastri's contract had expired the day before Alonso mm-hmm. made the announcement. So Alpine's probably like, oh, we'll just announce the reserve driver, and either they didn't look at the contract, didn't mm-hmm. realize that, which I find a little hard to believe. I mean, it could have been a quick backlash, got to get a PR statement out there. Or they just figured, oh, he would be overjoyed with the offer of a seat. There's no way he's going to turn us down.
Yeah.
And then he loses a ton of negotiation power if they just announce it. They've kind of strong-armed him. So I kind of get why he had a little bit of an aggressive backlash there. But at the same time, what's his plan? Where does he think he's going to go?
And I think this is what made everyone think that if you're that strong-willed against not joining Alpine, you must have some other type of plan, because it definitely looks like you've ruined your relationship with Alpine and will not be joining their team. And so what everyone's saying, and I can't make eye contact with you while I say this, but what everyone's saying is that Piastri's coming for Danny Ric's seat at McLaren next year. How they're going to do that, I have no idea. But I do think that they can make Danny Ric feel, like, uncomfortable enough to leave, or kind of, like, threatening enough. Because it sounds like it's in Ricardo's power to stay, but if you're not wanted there, like, why would you want to?
Well, like, let's just back it up a sec. let's just back it up, okay? Because there are four other open seats on the grid, so why are we jumping to, obviously, McLaren is a more coveted seat. It's not mm-hmm. the main big three that we, you know, are the coveted seats for an F1 driver, but it's very hard to be your first stop on the grid in those, you know, the Ferrari, the Red Bull, the Mercedes of the world. So McLaren is a, you know, your next best option and a really mm-hmm. great team to race for, especially with their fan base. But, like, no seats are up. Like, why is that the first assumption that everyone's jumping to? I think it's just people are obviously unhappy this year with McLaren's performance overall. Obviously expected Danny Ric to be doing a little bit better and maybe on par with how Lando's been doing, even though Lando also has not been doing quite well. And so obviously I can understand fans' frustrations, but I think this is solidly a rumor. Like, I do not think that they're actually considering giving up his seat, because I think that would be a stupid long-term move.
Yeah, I will give a shout out to Mary's coworker Ben, because I feel like he dropped this news to us during our work day. And then after he said it, I saw it all over social media, and it did start to make sense for a couple reasons. Because,
all right, let me hear. I will listen. I will see reason. I'm just a little bit for Catherine, four other open seats.
But look at those open seats. Like,
I mean,
they're not great. So you have which seats are open?
So the four open seats aside from, I mean, technically five, right? We know the open seat at Alpine.
Right.
The other ones are AlphaTauri, Yuki's seat is open, which I'd also be heartbroken if Yuki's seat got given away. Hopefully those anger management classes pay off.
Yeah, they're investing a lot in him, so it would be a shame to let him go at this point.
You know, I think he's still got a little time of, growing up to do. I think he still very much so feels like a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Then Alfa Romeo has an open seat. Guan Yu Zhou, he's up. But honestly, we've talked about this. He's had so many car problems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they wouldn't re-sign him, because the times that we've actually gotten to see him drive has been very impressive.
Yeah, he's done very well.
So, I mean, it's technically open, but I don't know if they're really sold on giving him up at this point.
Right.
Haas, Schumacher, his seat is up, but
that would be a weird one.
Yeah.
I would be surprised, but not entirely, just because he hasn't been performing super well, but it's not like he's awful.
And plus, like, we've made the contrast before. Look who his mentors were on the team, like, yeah. Before this year, and he's really has actually started to show some results, mm-hmm. and Haas has a better car, so I don't know if they would want to rock the boat that much and give up their investment in him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's showing potential. He's progressing every year.
Yeah.
And then the last seat is...
Don't say it.
Williams. Latifi. I mean, I don't know if I can go into the summer vacation not knowing if Latifi is safe.
I won't sleep. I don't know that I'll watch F1 ever again if Latifi's gone.
You heard it here first. The grid gals will be taking a stance against F1. We will be boycotting. I'm sure we'll really show them these three viewers will no longer watch the sport. Let my man Latifi drive.
Oh, man. My poor brother will have to pick a new favorite driver. All the memes will be gone.
They're not going to get rid of Latifi.
They can't. They Who's going to hold up the back of the pack?
Who's going to cause issues? You got to have one troublemaker.
You really do. You need him.
Okay, so those are the open seats. So, all right.
Okay.
Now everyone's in the know about what seats were open and... All right, let me hear it. Why does McLaren make sense?
That's point number one. So if you look at the seats that are open, not a lot of great options.
Okay, I can see that.
And if you come out that aggressive about not joining the team that you are currently the reserve driver for, you better be going somewhere better than worse.
Okay, so if you are looking at it from that standpoint of you must have a better option, I mean, there are only four teams that are better than Alpine, and arguably, I would say the only reason why I would say McLaren is a better team than Alpine is because they just have so much more momentum behind their team. I don't mm-hmm. think, obviously, they're neck and neck this season, but I think any driver would pick McLaren over Alpine.
Right. And the other seats, like your Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, those are locked in. There's no way. I think only because there's been a question mark over Daniel that this is the direction people are leaning.
I think it's just the F1 conspiracy theory. Like, I just don't see a lot of weight to it. What, you got some more? You got some more facts in your arsenal there?
I also think that at some point, Piastri's driven for McLaren.
When did he drive for them?
I think it might have been in a different series. Either like in an okay. F2 or F3 series.
That would make sense.
But I've definitely seen him in the McLaren uniform. And not just all the memes that are going around of him in the McLaren uniform right now, but I think I've seen him drive for them before. So he does have some experience with the team.
But why did they... I mean, the whole rumor started a couple weeks ago that they were trying to give up Danny Ric's seat when they brought in that new American driver. So mm-hmm. I don't understand. I think people are just out for blood. Like, what you got against Danny Ric?
Look, Jack, I don't think I'm ever going to convince you of this, so I think we have to ride it out and see. That's the information I have on it right now.
You see, I was going to say, you know, how would you feel if the situation were reversed? But I kind of already know your sassy retort.
It simply wouldn't be.
All right. We should make a little bet.
Oh, okay. I can't do another shoey.
No, we'll choose a different, we'll make the bet. We'll choose a different wager. How about?
Okay. All right, so listen. You know when I say that? You know when I say that, I'm about to spit some knowledge here.
I'm sorry, before I wasn't listening.
Just us two.
Just turning my ears on now. It's crazy that we've had a conversation.
Okay, well, here it is, Jack. Whether you want to hear or not, I say the loser of the bet has to walk up all the flights to my apartment. Which... For listeners, I'm not going to tell you what floor I live on, but it's above 20. So,
oh my god,
over 20 flights of stairs.
That is hysterical. I 100% will take that bet.
So my bet is that Piastri will take Danny Ric's seat at McLaren.
Okay.
And I will let you choose another team or the bench seat.
I don't think he's going for a bench.
Okay.
I don't love any of the other teams, though.
What else do you think could be the outcome?
I don't know if I love this, but I think just based off of performance this season alone, I think he might take Yuki's seat.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. I felt it in my soul. Oh, wow. Your turn on Yuki.
I know.
See the day.
I think it's that or bench. I don't see them. I don't see Haas. I don't see Alfa Romeo. And I don't think that Williams would give up Latifi just knowing how young of a driver Albon is.
Okay.
So I think that's really the only...
So Yuki or bench? What's it going to be?
I'm going to go bench.
Really?
I'm gonna hate myself if it ends up being Yuki. I think it's like one of those things where he made a snap judgment. He's young. People might have been promising him some things, but I don't think they're gonna pan out.
Okay. Do you want to shake on it?
It's a pleasure doing business with you.
As always.
Can't wait to watch you walk up all those stairs. I'll be filming every minute of it.
I'll have to do like a check-in. Like each, every like however many flights it takes.
I'll like pop out at random.
You have to take the elevator up. Every five flights, do a check-in.
I know we've mentioned this, but we now live in the same building, so you can't stop me from entering and watching you do this.
Well, we shall see.
All right, so now we'll get into our race weekend recap. Mary and I recorded this session earlier in the week, but like Catherine said at the beginning, we needed to have this emergency session before the gals went on summer vacation. And now, on to the race recap. Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 23 of Grid Gals. We just finished watching the Hungarian Grand Prix, and Mary and I are going to recap the weekend for you here. But before we dive into this race weekend, we had some heartbreaking news this week that, you know, I'll hand it over to Mary to discuss a little bit further, but I'm sure everyone saw the news on social media that it is Sebastian Vettel's last season. He's retiring at the end of the season, and I just want to say, you ladies called it. I think that was one of our predictions earlier on in the season.
Yeah, and it's not one that I wanted to necessarily see come true, right? You know, I'm either right or I'm happy, and this time I'm right and not happy. It's also just disappointing that this is kind of how he's going out, given how Aston Martin has been performing. Like, he's fighting for points, not even podiums or wins. And I think especially at this point in his life, when he has children and a family and a lot of other things going on outside of F1, you know, he's been an outspoken activist for a number of causes. I think it's probably really hard to justify being away from home and living the F1 lifestyle. I mean, he's a four-time world champ. He's one of the most decorated drivers in the sport. And so when you're at this level, it's hard to justify the impact, right, to like your family and everything else in your life if you're not even up there on the podiums or even like solidly in the midfield, where I don't know, even like McLaren this year, right? Like, that's a totally different team than Aston Martin. And I know, you know, we've spoken about how McLaren's disappointing compared to last year, but Aston Martin is just in a league of their own and not in a good way. So a bummer to see him go out the way he did, and like selfishly, maybe I can hope for a Schumacher or Alonso type resurgence, but I don't think that's in the cards. I think this retirement is probably gonna stick. So that was definitely a blow, but I'm excited to see what he does next, and I'm sure it's gonna be one hell of a second act. So
yeah, I think it's fair, like, recognizing the impact that it has on the drivers this season, because I was thinking because things weren't panning out so well that he wouldn't want to go out on that note, but also at the same time, committing to a full another season, that's a lot, especially in the world that we live in today where it's not as easy to travel between different countries and bring everyone with you and do all the testing and everything. So, yeah, another good one bites the dust, but I'm sure he'll stay around in the F1 community. I don't think we'll lose sight of him anytime soon.
No, and I'll be really interested to see who Aston Martin chooses as his replacement. I think it's very early. You know, there's been some rumors swirling around, but I don't even think we're at the point yet where we can fully discuss those. So,
do you remember the post I sent you this week where they were like hypothesizing who's going to replace Vettel on Aston Martin? And I think it was Ricardo, Alonso, and I'm blanking on the third one, but
I think it's Albon.
Albon, yeah, and they were all their necks just look non-existent in the photos that they used.
Yeah, and that was just weird because, I mean, Ricardo has another contractual year with McLaren, so I would be shocked if he breaks that. I mean, it would be up to him to do, and I don't see him doing that, so.
No, I mean, there's really no pull for him to leave his spot right now unless it was, like, McLaren's choice to oust him from the team, so.
Yeah, I think that was the big news this week, and other than that, you want to just hop into qualifying?
Yeah.
So I think overall this race weekend, we did see a variety of weather conditions. Some of the practices were full-on wets, actually raining. I know Latifi did shockingly well in the wet conditions and was putting up some of the fastest times, and I think it was FP3, but it did dry out for qualifying. I think they said there might have been like a little bit of moisture on the track, but nobody had like inters or wets. It was pretty much just a dry qualifying, and you know, it was really hard. Sebastian, especially, he announces his retirement midweek. You're obviously hoping for a great race weekend. I mean, a great just rest of your last season, and did have some pretty serious damage. And so he was working with the mechanics to get that repaired. But I mean, even in qualifying out in Q1, definitely not a great showing. And some of the usual suspects, we saw both AlphaTauris out, both Williams is out. No real shocks in that one.
Agreed.
Yeah, Q2, I think really the only surprising bit of Q2 was Checo. Checo got out, and not only did he get out, he pitted and didn't even attempt, you know, so that was kind of one of those where, I don't know, I mean, also he's on my fantasy team, so that's always disappointing. I'm not, you know, a huge Red Bull fan per se, but I do like Checo, and that was kind of a disappointing result for qualifying for him.
Yeah, we're usually expecting to see him at least in Q3, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that Red Bull has been performing, you expect both of them in Q3, and to only get one, especially, I mean, I think we can go ahead and jump to Q3. Watching Max, it sounded like all of the Honda engines, you know, he was having power failures. He ended up, I think 7th, maybe, for Max?
No, he qualified 10th.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, his engine issues were really hitting him hard. AlphaTauris too, you know. Pierre Gasly actually was the only one who faced a penalty for replacing it, but they replaced all of those power units this weekend.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it was all around a tough weekend for Red Bull qualifying wise. Like that was, I don't know, the last time we haven't seen Max like at least competitive. Yeah, sure, he's not getting pole every week or weekend. But 10th, yeah, back of Q3, that was a little surprising to see. And also just, yeah, Perez not even making it that far. It was not looking like a good weekend going into the race, for Red Bull at least.
Ferrari showed up, though. They were looking really fast. And, you know, it was like a boom, boom, boom right at the end of Q3. They're setting those final flying laps. Checkered flag is out. Leclerc knocks off a great time, takes provisional pole. Immediately after that, Sainz comes right after him, just a couple tenths faster, takes provisional pole away. And you're like, okay, you know, Ferrari 1-2 lockout. Like, this is what we've been waiting for. It's what we want all season. And then out of nowhere, just was not expecting it at all. George Russell comes through at the very end and takes pole away from Ferrari, which it was his first ever career pole. So exciting moment. Not huge Russell fans around here, but I mean, it's kind of cool. Anytime a driver like hits an F1 milestone.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was looking like a lot of good momentum for Mercedes going into the race, which they have had quite the journey from the beginning of the season, getting back to a groove. So from this qualifying session, where did Hamilton end up? Oh, he was back in 7th. So it was weird because they were split so much too that, I mean, that was impressive for Russell to have put up such pace in the car when it looked like Hamilton might have been struggling a little bit.
Yeah, he didn't have the best qualifying, but you know who had a great qualifying? Your boy Norris.
Norris did. Even Ricciardo made it into Q3, which has not been happening. So overall, very good qualifying session for McLaren.
And not only did Danny Ric make it into Q3, bit of a technicality here, he did out-qualify his former teammate, Max Verstappen. So take your wins where you can.
Exactly. You know it's a weird weekend when Daniel Ricciardo is out-qualifying Max.
Yeah.
But we needed that, and we needed that momentum from going in, looking at Alpine qualified really well. 5th and 6th, so it was good that at least Norris was starting out ahead of them, because they're now starting to beat McLaren in the constructors' standings right now.
Yeah, no, I think Alpine looks really strong. They've been very solid in the midfield all season, and I think they definitely continued that trend here. And, I mean, this was the track last year where we did see Ocon take his first win. We saw the great teamwork with him and Alonso last year. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely looking forward to see what they did. And I think they had a really strong qualifying. All right. Want to move over to the race?
Sure.
Well, before we get in and debrief the race entirely, I will read the ultimate results. Unfortunately, we did have one DNF, and it was one of our fan favorites here on Grid Gals, our man Valtteri Bottas. Right at the end of the race, too. I mean, they barely had time to get his car off the track before the end of the race, so always disappointing, especially when it's that close to the end. But we did have Bottas as our one DNF. And in 19th, we had Yuki Tsunoda with AlphaTauri. In 18th, we had Nicholas Latifi with Williams. In 17th, Alexander Albon with Williams. In 16th, Kevin Magnussen with Haas. In 15th, Daniel Ricciardo with McLaren. In 14th, we had Mick Schumacher with Haas. In 13th, we had Zhou Guanyu with Alfa Romeo. And in 12th, we had Pierre Gasly with AlphaTauri. Finishing in 11th, we had Lance Stroll for Aston Martin. And now into our points positions. Finishing 10th place, we did have Sebastian Vettel with Aston Martin. And in 9th, Esteban Ocon with Alpine. In 8th, Fernando Alonso with Alpine. Finishing 7th, we had Lando Norris for McLaren. Finishing 6th, we had Charles Leclerc with Ferrari. In 5th, we had Sergio Perez with Red Bull. In 4th, Carlos Sainz for Ferrari. And in 3rd, for our podium finishers, we had George Russell with Mercedes. 2nd place, we had Lewis Hamilton with Mercedes. And finally, our race winner, Max Verstappen with Red Bull. Now, those results compared to the starting grid.
Wild. What a shakeup. I mean, if you would have told me or read those results to me, I would have not guessed how qualifying went even close to that.
Well, and okay, so we knew the reason Max qualified so poorly was due to engine issues. And honestly, probably Checo too. That's probably the reason they left him in the pits and didn't even go for it in Q2. Mm-hmm. Pierre Gasly actually started from the pit lane due to that penalty he took. Yuki Tsunoda, all brand new power units. I'm not shocked that Max crawled back up the grid. Right? Starting 10th, I mean, Max is leading the championship, phenomenal driver. Like, that didn't necessarily surprise me. I mean, it didn't make me particularly happy to see, but I think the surprising one for me was Lewis Hamilton. I mean, he started 7th, and to end up 2nd, especially when his teammate qualified on pole.
Yeah. Well, it took Max a little bit to get momentum. For a while there, both Max and Perez, even though they had made up some places, it still took a lot longer than I expected for them to climb back up, and Max especially. But yeah, Lewis had a phenomenal race with George getting pole, and maybe that gave him a little bit of that, a little bit of a push, you know, because you want, I don't know, I'm not sure what the dynamic is on Mercedes, because Lewis is like, been in the sport for a long time. He's very trained from a PR perspective, and he's very good about not letting his emotions get the best of him in most situations. So it's like hard to know really what their dynamic is. But watching Toto's face throughout the race is like a clear giveaway that I think like Lewis very much so and him have a great relationship, because they've been, I mean, Lewis has been racing for Mercedes for a long time, but yeah, that was a very shocking performance. And I don't know, I kind of liked it. I liked seeing Mercedes climb up. Not boding well for Ferrari, though, just because...
Well, I think this was another race that was really frustrating as a Ferrari fan to watch, because so much of it came down to strategy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that they were necessarily... like, they gave the win away. They were definitely competitive. I mean, especially at the beginning. So, George Russell started on pole. He started on the soft tires. He held on very well. I think for the first, like, 15 or so laps of the race, George was really managing that lead. Mm-hmm. And I think he was managing his tires really well to make them last a long time. You know, he had both Ferraris right on his tail. Eventually, the Ferraris did get ahead of him, and Charles was leading the race for a while. And I think, you know, it really came down to the pit stop strategy. So here at the Hungaroring, the undercut is really what you have to watch out for. And just the sequencing of the pit stops and the strategy behind them, where you're going to come back out on the grid, really plays into the team strategy. And they took two different approaches with Sainz and Leclerc They pitted Sainz first. They put him on softs? Or was it another set of mediums? I'm trying to remember. They both started on mediums. And then, I think, what, maybe five or so laps later, they pit Leclerc. And they put him on hards. And, like, we've seen the drivers struggle with these hard tires all season. And it just doesn't seem to give you the payoff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was immediate. I mean, Verstappen was right on him.
Yeah.
With softs. And there wasn't really much Leclerc could do. And then, I mean, Max actually did have a spin out and did a full 360, caught himself really quickly, but
that was some sheer luck. Well, also probably some skill involved, but I was shocked that he, you know, had that error and was able to come out with very little. I mean, I think he lost one place, but I mean, it didn't affect his overall placement in the race at the end of the day. So that was really lucky.
Yeah, and it's an like you said, it's an error you don't see a driver like Max making a lot. So mm-hmm. It was just, if anything, kind of surprising. Like, you see the yellow flag and you're like, there's a spin out, and you're like, oh, it's Max, weird. Caught himself immediately, didn't hit the wall or anything. But the place he had just taken from Leclerc was able to get advantage. But even then, I mean, Max came back and in the next couple of laps took it back.
Yeah.
Eventually, Ferrari had to call Leclerc in and put him on softs. And at that point, like, he's too far down the grid, he didn't have time to make it back up. And, you know, you can see that in the results. Ending in sixth, when he had been leading the race, I mean, I know we've talked about the issues with reliability, and every now and then there is driver error, but it's frustrating to watch so many of these strategy calls really feel like it's almost like you're going against your own team. You know, I don't know. It's bizarre.
Yeah, Ferrari needs to get his shit together. I don't know what else to say other than that, especially too with, they were starting to say, oh yeah, you'll start to see us finish 1-2, like, the remainder of the season, and
literally earlier this week,
didn't even get on podium.
The news, like, oh, we're going to be finishing 1-2 the rest of the season. Well, no, you're not. Fourth and sixth. And it's not the pace. They mm-hmm. have the pace. That's, I think, the really frustrating part.
Well, it goes to show that, like, just having the fastest car on the grid isn't everything. Like, you still need to make good strategy calls.
Yeah. I think the clear winner of strategy calls today was Mercedes. Because, I mean, I think ultimately Red Bull's car is faster than Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised to see Max at the top of that podium. I think Mercedes did really well with what they have. And I think their strategy, I mean, clearly paid off. Double podium finish for them. 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, it's starting to be going to be a race to the end for the Constructors' Championship, which I'm hoping that Ferrari kind of starts to show up again and, you know, doesn't continue to build a further gap in the points, because I don't really want it to be a replay of last season where it's just Mercedes and Red Bull.
Well, I mean, Red Bull's kind of running away with it.
I know.
Mercedes is getting up there with some of these last couple finishes, but it's definitely disappointing to watch. But, you know, I think the drivers, they did as well as they could have, all things considered. There was a bit of hope at the end. We were talking about how there were some wet weather conditions,
mm-hmm.
and there was some rain. It actually was raining towards the end, which I got really hopeful that Leclerc's softs, maybe, I'm like, okay, crazy strategy, but maybe it's going to pay off here.
Right. Everyone was really nervous about the rain coming in, and even though it wasn't a lot of rain, and it was light rain, they were very nervous. And you could tell that, yeah, maybe some were just trying to play it too conservatively. Ricardo actually had a really great start to the race. The first third of the race, Norris was holding some positions. Ricardo dropped a couple because the Alpines passed him. And then he passed both Alpines at once, which was really impressive. And it was looking like McLaren had some really great momentum for a little bit there. But then Stroll was catching pace with Ricardo at one point, and he pushed Stroll off the track. I think Stroll was trying to pass him. And so he ended up walking away with a 5-second penalty, which ultimately, I mean, he wasn't going to make it into the points anyway, but tough coming off of getting points last week, dropping to 15th. both Alpines got points, even though Norris finished in front of them. Don't think it's a huge or big enough difference. I think we tied for points this week. So still going to be, I think Alpine and McLaren battling back and forth for being kind of the best of the midfield.
Well, and speaking of Aston Martin, there was a little back and forth between Seb and Stroll. Mm-hmm. They were definitely racing each other, and they almost made contact a couple times. I think, you know, some of them went wide at a couple turns, which, I don't know, I always kind of like watching teammates race because you know it's even equipment, and it is kind of fun to when teams do let them duke it out on track, which is actually what we saw with the Mercedes, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Russell had been running in second. He had a really good race, but Lewis's tires were just so much newer that, I mean, he passed Sainz with relative ease, which, again, just a little heartbreaking to see. But he passed his own teammate pretty fast. It was not that much of a fight, which I'm sure Russell was not happy about, considering it started off kind of being a weekend that was all about him. And, you know, for Lewis to just kind of swoop in right at the end, too. It really was. And just be like, I'm going to have that second place, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm a little shocked that they let them do that, but I think there's no other way to handle it at that point. Like, you can't make the call to not let one pass. I think they made the right call there, but I was a little bit shocked that they didn't, like, make a call on who they wanted to finish first.
Well, and I mean, it wasn't team orders at all. It's not like they told Russell to stand aside. They basically were like, just race.
Yeah.
You know, keep it clean.
More so, I'm shocked that they didn't step in, because we were, the last couple of laps, and rather than, like, risk knowing the personality, more so knowing the personality of Russell.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that either of them has gotten that aggressive with each other yet. You know, I think we've seen Lewis with some of his other teammates. You mm-hmm. know, him and Nico Rosberg had their infamous incident. We've certainly seen teammates take each other out, but I think Russell just knew. Like,
yeah, he was like, hey, it's just
newer tires.
Yeah. I did enjoy watching Toto's smirk when Hamilton did pass Russell.
I love the Toto cam. I love the Toto cam.
I know, we haven't been seeing as much of it lately, so it is nice that since Mercedes has been doing well, we've been seeing some of those reactions.
And thank you everyone so much for listening today. This was the last race of the first part of the season before the drivers go on their summer break. And so here at Grid Gals, we are going to be following that F1 calendar and be going on a bit of a break ourselves to enjoy some of the summer here in Chicago. And we can't wait to get back with you on the grid in a couple of weeks. So again, if you like what you heard here today, make sure that wherever you get your podcasts, you like and subscribe. Feel free to leave us a review. And if you have anything that you want to say, you can visit our website or hit us up at gridgals@gmail.com.
And that's the checkered flag for this session. We'll see you back on the grid in a couple weeks.